So for this, I realized that I was able to go until 10:45 and was thinking 10:30. So we've got a little bit of extra time here where I was going to ask for questions at the end and thinking I had already used up that other 15 minutes and where did the time go? But it didn't. So so we have about 10 minutes here if people have other questions besides what you asked me during the break. So does anybody have questions at this point? Okay, everybody asked me their questions at the break, so I guess we'll, yeah.
So are there questions that we all need to hear the answers to?
Yeah. Oh, let's see. What questions were there? There were questions about who are the kind of people that are writing about this Reformation. And so I brought three books that people can leaf through at your leisure during the breaks. So the Eco-Reformation book that I've been referencing has a lot of chapters by different theologians. They're all Lutheran because they were writing it for the kind of 500th anniversary of the Lutheran part of the Reformation. We have to wait like 130-some years for ours, but this book, Watershed Discipleship, Reinhabiting Bioregional Faith and Practice, is by Ched Myers, edited it, and then there's a bunch of chapters by different authors from different places around the country trying to do active environmental care from a Christian perspective and writing about that process. So the Eco-Reformation one is more like theological, and this one is kind of combining theology and action, which I tend to appreciate a little bit more, but the theological basis is important. Resisting Structural Evil, Love as Ecological Economic Vocation by Cynthia Molobita is one I'll be referencing throughout the day as well. There are a lot of other books written by other scholars. If you're interested in an evangelical perspective, there's one called Introducing Evangelical Ecotheology by my colleague Dan Bruner from Portland Seminary and a couple other colleagues. And there's Larry Rasmussen wrote kind of a seminal book on Earth Community, Earth Ethics in the late 90s, and that's kind of an early expression of Christian environmental ethics. And there, like Celia Dean Drummond is writing on ecotheology, and particularly she's writing kind of a more scientific perspective and bringing in animal consciousness and that sort of thing, so that's pretty interesting. There are lots of people writing on this. Barbara Rossing is writing on Revelations, and so the stuff that I wrote or that I talked about Revelations was from her work. So if you read all of those and you want more to read, you can always reach out to me by email and I will give you a more complete reading list. There's a lot being written in the kind of intersection between feminism and environmental concerns, as well as some ecofeminist theology. So there's ecofeminism in general, ecofeminist theology. There is a lot being done in environmental justice fields about environmental racism and the impacts for communities of color. Robert Bullard is a big name in that field. So if you're interested in any of those and you didn't write them down and you don't want to watch the video to find them again, I can always send you those titles or other ones if you're interested in learning more. So, any other questions that came to mind about the kind of biblical basis for creation care? Yeah, Keith?
Well, one of the very tricky parts of, I think, it's in Leviticus, is that part of the standards for maintaining the connection to the land have to do with sexual fidelity, which is obviously a very tricky one. And I wouldn't expect to put you on the spot with that question, but it is something for us to think about, very convoluted.
Yeah, and I would say that my opinion of how we can utilize the law books in the Hebrew scriptures is by looking at the overall intention behind them rather than each specific law. So getting the sense of what are these laws there to do, what's their intention, rather than rather than what they actually end up doing when we use them legalistically. So if the intention is to create a community that everybody is a part of and that everybody is treating one another well and relationships are being done in a way that is healthy for everyone, with relationships between people and one another, people and God, people in the land, that's kind of the intention behind the law, but the details of the law are not always helpful in doing that overall intention. So I think they were hearing well how God is leading them to form a community that has right relationships with one another. And in those details, they sometimes don't create a community that is going to continue to be a safe and reconciling place for all people and land and animals. But that is the direction of the intention behind that law. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't write fast enough. So the references you had from the books of the law of Leviticus 25 and?
Yes, and I think, let's see what I say. Deuteronomy 15.
Okay. I was raised with Baptists.
Got to look up those Bible passages as a Baptist, recovering Baptist maybe. Or continuing Baptist.
Baptist is the roots, and Quakerism is the tree of all ages.
Ah, yes. Baptist roots and continuing to grow and flourish out of that into Quakerism. Excellent.